Today on the Wisdom Journey, we witness the terrifying events leading to the Battle of Armageddon. God's wrath is poured out, one bowl at a time, on an unrepentant world. Humanity suffers under unprecedented judgment. Rivers of blood, scorching heat, and supernatural darkness grip the world. But instead of turning to God, they curse Him. What will this mean for those who stand against God, and what hope is there? Stay tuned to find out.
I read some time ago that Highway 666, which ran through Utah, Colorado, and New Mexico, was eventually named Highway 491. Why? Was it because 666 was considered, an unlucky number? No. It was because the highway department couldn't replace fast enough the highway signs that were being stolen. Evidently, people wanted to have that Highway 666 sign as a collector's item. Well, let me tell you, there's another word in Revelation that captures the attention of the world, and that's the term Armageddon. Now, even though many people don't know what the Bible says about Armageddon, they know it has something to do with a final battle or maybe the end of the world as we know it. Well, as we set sail now into Revelation chapter 16, John is going to begin giving us the details about this coming cataclysmic event that's going to wrap up, indeed, the final days of civilization as we know it. It's all going to culminate in this great battle of Armageddon. Now, here in verse 1, we read, seven angels step forward. They're carrying seven bowls. These bowls are filled symbolically with the wrath of God. And without any delay, the angels now are told to pour out these bowls, delivering judgment upon judgment upon judgment as the intensity of God's wrath now increases. The first bowl judgment here in verse 2, we're told, brings harmful and painful sores upon the people. The Greek word here indicates that these sores are running sores, terrible sores that refuse to be healed. Now, I want you to follow this. Only those who bear the mark of the beast and worship his image are going to be affected by these sores. Those who've become followers of Christ, those who've survived to this point in the tribulation, having received Christ after the rapture, well, they are spared this painful experience. Now, the second bowl in verse 3 is directed toward the sea. And John writes here that the sea becomes like the blood of a corpse, so that every living thing here in the sea dies. Now, the third bowl delivers the same judgment, verse 4 says, but on freshwater sources. He writes, the rivers and the springs. John observes in his vision, he writes, they became blood. Now, I want you to notice, he doesn't say they became like blood. No, they became literally blood. This is a global plague, and humanity cannot survive this for very long. Now, at this point, John hears the angel who pours out this bowl declaring God's justice here in verse 6. The angel says, they have shed the blood of saints and prophets, and you have given them blood to drink. This is what they deserve, basically. And in verse 7, a voice from heaven affirms this truth, saying, yes, Lord God the Almighty, true and just are your judgments. You see, this is the righteous justice of God. And let me tell you, if you've never trusted Christ, you don't want to ask God for justice. You want to ask Him for mercy. And you can, by the way, today, if you haven't already, call upon the name of the Lord. You call for mercy and His forgiveness. Now, verses 8 and 9 record the fourth judgment, and this one involves the sun. Verse 9 says that it's going to scorch people with fierce heat. Well, let me tell you, this is true global warming. from predictions, by the way, of a coming ice age back in the 1970s to fear of global warming. People have believed that humanity is in control of that global thermostat. It's all up to us to save the planet from either freezing or burning up. Well, let me tell you, that myth of humanity's power over Earth's future, well, that's finally put to rest. It's pretty clear here that God is in control of the weather. He's in control of the climate, the moon, the sun, the water, the icebergs, the solar system, and even the universe beyond. This is His creation. Well, here, John records the truth that God is controlling His creation. It's His water. This is His planet. This is His sun and moon. And God's going to use it all now to deliver this hammer blow of His sovereign justice. Now, the question is, how's humanity going to respond to this unbearable heat that beats down upon the earth? Well, John gives us their response in verse 9. They cursed the name of God who had power over these plagues. They did not repent and give Him glory. Well, their hearts are as hard as ever. As the 19th century pastor Charles Spurgeon often said, the same sun which melts wax hardens clay. The same gospel which melts some persons to repentance hardens others in defiance. And well, it's going to be that latter case here in the tribulation. Next, verse 10 tells us that the fifth bowl is poured out on the throne of the beast, and its kingdom was plunged into darkness. So God, who controls the universe, controls the sun, starlight, moonlight, gives the order, and guess what? All the lights go out on the Antichrist's kingdom specifically. The Greek text implies that whatever gives light will no longer emit light. Even lamps and candles and flashlights won't be able to emit any light. It's complete, total darkness. Now, the Lord is mercifully showing the unbelievers that the Antichrist is not the light. He isn't the true Christ that brings light and life. And those who follow the Antichrist, well, they're headed for eternal outer darkness. Well, what does mankind do in the face of this supernatural demonstration of God's power over light? Well, we're told here, once again, in verse 11, they cursed the God of heaven. They did not repent. Well, this brings us to the sixth angel. John watches and writes here in verse 12, as the angel poured out his bowl on the great river Euphrates, and its water was dried up to prepare the way for the kings from the east. Now, this great river that's in the way is holding back, you know, these advancing armies from the east. Well, God's going to dry up that water. He's going to allow them to march toward Israel and Armageddon, which is their final destruction. Now, here in verse 13, John sees three spirits like frogs, and they're coming from the mouth of what we could call the satanic trinity. You've got the dragon, Satan, you've got the beast, the Antichrist, and you've got the false prophet who masquerades, as it were, as the Holy Spirit. Now, John explains here in verse 14 that these are demonic agents of Satan, and they're sent out, he writes, to gather the kings of the whole world for battle on the great day of God the Almighty. So get this picture here. A global army following the Antichrist's order is rumbling through the dry riverbed of the Euphrates River. They're marching against believers, especially Jewish believers in Christ as Messiah. But ultimately, they're going to march against the returning King of Kings. In fact, we're told here in verse 16 that the armies assemble at a place that in Hebrew is called Armageddon. Ar, or Har, is the Hebrew word for mountain, and Megiddo refers to the ancient city in northern Israel that just overlooks the Jezreel Valley. This is the perfect place to serve as the command center for the armies of this final, what we could call, world war. Well, as the armies gather at Armageddon in preparation for this final conflict, the last angel steps forward to empty the seventh bowl of judgment from God. And verse 17 says that when he empties that bowl, a voice from the throne of God says, "It is done." In other words, this is it. Verse 18 adds, "And there were flashes of lightning, rumblings, peals of thunder, and a great earthquake such as there never had been since man was on the earth." Verse 21 adds that hailstones weighing about 100 pounds each are going to fall from the sky. The people of earth, including this vast human army, are going to be devastated by God's supernatural use of the forces of nature. Well, again, how will the human race respond? Well, again, verse 21 tells us that instead of repenting, instead of surrendering to Creator God, they curse God for what's happening. Frankly, it's hard for me to picture this kind of devastation. 100-pound hailstones, massive earthquake, fear, pain, horror, all that the human race will experience as Christ's coming quickly approaches. Yet the most tragic sight to me in this text is that the majority of people on planet Earth would rather defy and curse God than surrender their lives to Him. And again, let me ask you this. Have you surrendered to Christ as your Savior? To God as your Creator? Well, if you haven't, do you really want to keep fighting against the God of creation, the sovereign King of the universe? Let me encourage you, wherever you are right now, to stop and surrender your life to God today. Well, until we set sail again, beloved, may the grace of the Lord Jesus Christ and the love of God and the fellowship of the Holy Spirit be with you all. Amen.
I'm so glad you joined us today here on The Wisdom Journey. Revelation is an important book, and Stephen's going to continue through it in the days ahead. Stephen has a series of full-length sermons through the book of Revelation. If you'd like to dive deeper, you'll find those resources on our website. Visit wisdomonline.org. You'll find the book of Revelation in our section of full-length sermons. Do that today, then join us back here next time.